listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended Constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth, the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the New World Order. Prepare yourself. This is the Alternative Media.
Good morning and welcome to the Alternative Media. This is your Saturday morning broadcast where we cut through the lies, deception, propaganda, and the fact that the federal government bears no resemblance to that of we the people. Today is Saturday, July 3rd, 2021. And I am your guest host. Again, Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf, who is on hiatus. And welcome, everyone. I have with me here as co-hosts, Patrick Slattery. Hello, Patrick. And I also have Paul Edward Stevenson with me as well. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Richard. Great to be with you.
Yes, yes.
And hello, Richard. Slow with the mute button.
Yes, gentlemen. And so we'll see if anyone else is able to join today. It is the Independence Day broadcast, I suppose, for the alternative media. And I don't know, you know, a lot of mixed sentiments these days. As I reiterated from Farron's opening lines, the federal government bears no resemblance to that of we the people. So really, what are we celebrating these days? I was reading one article of this gentleman who's traveled through like about four states recently in the, well, mostly in the Northwest, but he points out that compliance to the mask mandates is mostly just in the large cities, the large metropolitan areas, and you don't see much enforcement in rural areas, not even in most suburbs. And and of course how a lot of the people still wearing masks have had their shots, their vaccinations. And what's worse, they don't believe that the shots work and are wearing the mask but still took the shot anyway and are wearing the mask, or that they think that their shot worked and they're out there virtue signaling to others. So, I mean, there is a strong cult of that virtue signaling social justice warrior mentality, especially in the big cities, related to the maintaining of all this. But of course, a lot of everyday Americans, he points out, it's obvious that they're tired of it, want to start interacting like normal humans again. There's the war drums beating lately, and I'm curious to get your gentlemen's thoughts on that. I briefly mentioned an article yesterday with Stephen Douglas Whitener on my show, Beyond the Official Narrative, that, well, we have a lot of tough talk currently from China and Russia. There's an article titled, "As Americans Party, Our Enemies on the Other Side of the Globe Are Preparing for Military Confrontation." And they're saying that, well, we're hearing a lot of tough talk. Let's see, one quote. But in China, the mood is quite different, and the same thing is true in Russia. In both cases, politicians are talking tough about the United States, and in both cases, the military is being prepared for a potential future conflict. Right now, our relations with China are the worst that they have been in decades, and our relations with Russia have never been this bad in our entire history. But the vast majority of Americans are completely and utterly clueless about all of this because most Americans couldn't care less about what happens on the other side of the globe. This was an article out of Investment Watch blog on July 1st, and it was by Michael Schneider. He does a lot of writing for them. But you know, I wonder, I mean, do they really need a lot of war distraction from economic restructuring when they have COVID as the perfect scapegoat? But I mean, usually when there are rough economic times, you know, you'll see wars that conveniently take the attention off things and justify any spending or austerity. I don't know. I noticed, of course, there's a Sputnik vaccine in Russia. I just heard a spike on this so-called India-based Delta variant in Moscow, like a huge spike there in particular, not much in the rest of Russia. But to allow such spikes to not speak more harshly against the PCR tests, to make this vaccine, when it doesn't seem like any vaccines are really necessary when you look at all the data. I mean, I brought up to Stephen yesterday, I mean, is it conceivable that superpower leaders such as Putin could know that it's overhyped regarding COVID and are willing to play along internationally with certain things like that, but could still actually go into conflict over, I don't know, would you call it lesser, but other issues of contention, you know, as far as territory, land, like waters that are patrolled, trade. I mean, I don't know. It does seem like there's no difference in the serious treatment of COVID from these other nations. I mentioned Iran as well, you know, China, Russia. So I don't know. Is there really a fear of, you know, a major conflict? I mean, there was recently a firing from a Russian vessel onto another, and it seemed more like it was a statement and a message being sent. Putin was quoted after it saying that he doesn't see it turning into any major conflict or some world war, no matter how things would have been perceived or could have gone. I mean, is it at all possible? I mean, is this really just possibly a distraction, this era now of all this tension from that we're being told regarding China and regarding Russia? I mean, I don't know, Paul, Patrick, whoever wants to go first, I'd like to hear each of your thoughts on all of this. Because, I mean, with COVID, it seems like everyone's pretty much in lockstep.
So I do think it's possible that world leaders like Putin, like the the Iranian government, that they to an extent go along with the inertia in the COVID movement. You know, they go along with it to an extent, partly out of there's uncertainty. You know, a lot of people don't exactly know what's going on, partly because their country's populations are connected into the internet and see what's going on outside, and people can get freaked out. So I think it is possible that even Donald Trump, we know Donald Trump in the United States had a lot of doubts about this COVID stuff, and his initial reaction was to play it down. That was his initial reaction. He got pushed into going along with it. And of course, if you're the person supposedly in charge, it's hard to back out. You know, you've committed yourself. I mean, Mark Twain had the saying, if it's easier to fool someone than it is to convince them they've been fooled. But if you're the person in charge, it's easier to make a mistake. Much easier to make a mistake than to admit you've made a mistake. And so I think there tends to be a lot of that. Donald Trump, just for instance, he is completely wed now to the vaccine because he ordered Operation, what was the name of it?
Warp Speed.
Yeah, he ordered that. You know, the one leader who's really visible in not going along with the hoax is... and I call it a hoax because in some ways it's a hoax, even if there's a real pathogen out there, is Vladimir Lukashenko, not Vladimir, Alexander Lukashenko in Belarus. And, of course, he's been, in the meantime, subjected to an attempted overthrow by, you know, CIA / State Department-backed forces in his own country. And unlike Donald Trump, who, when he was surrounded by Black Lives Matter, hid in the basement of the White House, Alexander Lukashenko walked out of the presidential palace with his sons and everyone carrying submachine guns. A little bit of a different look there.
Wow.
But yeah, I do think it's addressing your question, it is possible that people go along with it to an extent for a variety of reasons, because maybe they feel like a freaked out population is expecting it, because some reasons that are excusable and probably some that aren't excusable, maybe pressure from their own pharmaceutical industries and other things. Life is complicated, policies are complicated. So, as for a shooting war over events in the Black Sea or whatever, they may seem like lesser issues, but to our vantage point, but to Vladimir Putin's vantage point, where he's had NATO extended right to his borders, to have NATO put military assets right on his borders, potentially missile launching sites 5 to 7 minutes from Moscow, then there at some point there's a line that can be crossed. And while I don't think our own policy planners are deliberately trying to have a war, potentially nuclear war, the way wars are often started is through miscalculation, not through purposeful, purposely going into it. So that's my response on that initial question.
Okay, and Paul, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I would echo what Patrick said. I think to some extent there is genuine concern in these nations, and they want to sort of probably, it's that principle of precaution. And also, I think that to some extent they perhaps see it, from a geopolitical point of view, on the global stage, which is a good word, that they decide to participate in this theater, perhaps just not to be singled out and to not receive more hostility and more reason to be deemed reckless and uncaring. So, I mean, as far as the British naval ship in the Russian territory, because, of course, over here, they churn out this nonsense that Russia annexed the Crimea, and I mean, it doesn't matter how many times they say it, it doesn't make it true. And so Russia, identify the waters that the British were in as their territory. Now, you're right, Putin has played down any, when he was asked by a journalist, is there a potential for a World War III escalation situation, which he played down, but he did voice concern that this activity, and I'm sort of paraphrasing, is on the Russian border and is a threat to the Russian Federation. Because the Russian, NATO troops have been surrounding the Russian border for years now. And then they talk about Russian aggression when Russia has the temerity to defend its borders. So I think that a World War III situation is likely. And I know that's a bold statement, and it might not happen immediately. But I think it's gearing up for it. And I don't think the United States is in a very good position for it, because you've got the Federal Reserve, you're printing the dollar into oblivion. If they raise interest rates to correct the inflation, the The economy is going to implode because you've just got a bubble in absolutely everything. It's so over leveraged in debt, the United States. They're artificially low interest rates, and if they raise those interest rates, you literally will see an implosion of the economy. And if they don't raise the interest rates significantly to address it, the debt's too big now anyway. I mean, even Paul Volcker in the early 80s raised the interest rates, I think, to 20%, which was, difficult medicine to swallow, but it did the trick. But the debt is too big now, I think, that the medicine just could not be swallowed. So the alternative is then you just keep printing the money and you eventually obliterate the dollar and the economy explodes and the whole thing just completely explodes and gets destroyed. And then the ripple effects of that are you have the Chinese who are going to dump all their dollars, and the United States and the West generally, but the United States particularly, and they import so many goods from China. Now, if we're on a war footing, or if the United States is on a war footing with China, that's a big problem for the United States, because you're not producing enough, which is why you've been importing all this stuff and then sending them dollars. And if the dollar is a shadow of itself in terms of its value because of the inflation, the money printing, then the Chinese, will stop sending the United States all those goods, and that is not a very pretty picture.
Okay, so you do think that there could be potential for serious military conflict brewing?
I think so. Mm-hmm. It just feels like it. A lot of the economic, environment is very like, like Germany in the 1930s and Europe in the 1930s. It's very much like that in various different ways. There's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of economic instability. And I think, that it is very possible. I mean, even some of the rhetoric coming out of China, I think China and Russia are sick and tired of the monopoly of the dollar being the world reserve currency. I think they're sick and tired of the United States throwing its weight around and their bullying. And it's untenable. It really is untenable. And those at the Federal Reserve, remember who these people are. They're vampires, and they're in the final throes of sucking the last lifeblood out of the United States. Now, and they don't care. They don't care. They come and they parasite, they suck, they drain the blood, and when there's nothing left, then they move on. They don't care about the United States. So,
mm-hmm. Michael Rivero is famous for always saying, "All wars are bankers' wars," and you mentioned it is. I mean, but we're so unprepared economically for a major conflict, is your point. But nonetheless, you think it may happen, and I don't know. Perhaps some on the inside want to sabotage the U.S. with a war that they economically cannot win.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but sort of psychologically. The Western nations, all this kind of woke stuff, which is essentially, cultural Bolshevism, has left the Western peoples in a very kind of weak, flabby, pathetic kind of, mindset. And, we're very sort of soft over here now in the West, whereas those countries have suffered a lot. And they are hardy and they are strong, and they are, it doesn't matter how much we indulge in all this nonsense over here with gender fluidity and all the weird nonsense that we get involved with. China and Russia look on and laugh, and they don't subscribe to this nonsense that is prevalent here in the West now.
And all of our countries are so susceptible to it. The U.S., England, France, Germany, like you say, the LGBT critical race theory, BLM, propaganda exactly. vote. All right, well, we have the first break, folks. We'll be right back. Stick around.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You know I'm a dreamer, but my heart's a gold.
And we're back, folks, on the alternative media here on RBN. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf, here with Patrick Slattery and Paul Edward Stevenson. And I should remind everyone to support RBN. Please donate whatever's manageable, folks. No donations too small. We can't expect there to be any free speech if we don't support it ourselves. So please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. You can get a mug, an RBN coffee mug, or an RBN t-shirt in a size of your choice for every $100 donation currently. And from what I understand, they're still honoring the offer as our thank you for the donation. For $115, you can actually get both the shirt and the mug, which is an excellent deal. We could really use the help right now, folks. The ratio of donations to bills has not been in a very comfortable ratio. It'll be a good time to make sure we get everything paid, take some of the stress off the owner, Mr. John Stadmiller, who dedicates so much with making sure RBN has been running strong. And let's keep that going well into the future. You can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff via credit or debit card donations at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in your donation, cash, check, money order, to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And again, we greatly appreciate it, folks. Paul, I don't know, did you have more to add then in summing up your view toward war and the economic dire straits we've found ourselves in, and really just how this cancel culture, this far left mentality that they're trying to purge through all of our federal, governmental, military sort of positions and in politics, of course, politically speaking, it's there's a transformation culturally that's been attempted, that is being attempted.
Yeah, and I think if you're China or Russia, you probably look on at the United States and you think there might not be a better time to go to war with the United States than now or in the near future, because there has been so much damage done that I don't think the people in the West are strong enough to deal with it. I think they're so oblivious to what goes on around the world. They're so oblivious to the kind of suffering and the kind of conditions that people live in around the world. And, it sort of materialism and having, wealth and prosperity, it doesn't make for strong people, It really doesn't. And then you add in all this nonsense, these preoccupations that people have with, these, as you say, these far left ideas about, it's so pathetic, some of the things that they preoccupy themselves with. And, a reality check could be in order. And, the Russians and the Chinese at this stage, I would say, are psychologically much stronger people than your average Westerner,
Yeah, and right before the break, I mentioned how all of our nations have been taken over with these sort of social values, if you could call them that. The U.S., England, and France, Germany. So, it's kind of laughable in a militaristic sense, and you have all of this LGBT and critical race theory sort of focus in universities and certainly in military environments. And then the Chinese and Russian militaries are supposed to be and yet nonetheless intimidated by troops that are just submersed in this rather than what they need to be if they were going to be strong defenders.
You take it, for example, in a war situation, right? Particularly when you look at the economic climate and how much goods are imported from somewhere like China and other nations, but even just particularly China. If they become the enemy and cut off supply and they decide to dump the dollar, that the dollar's not worth anything and we're at war with these people, we're not sending them anything. I mean, how many people in the United States or in the West here really are prepared, mentally or spiritually, or even, just with their provisions that if a situation like that arose? I think a lot of people are just totally, a lot of people believe Federal Reserve when they say that, inflation is transitory. People are just in a fog of just insanity, I think. They just live in some parallel universe,
Yeah, most people are too comfortable in their own bubbles. That is true. Well, here, we have the bottom of the hour break, folks, so we'll be right back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
And we're back, folks, here on the Alternative Media on RBN. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf, here with co-hosts Patrick Slattery and Paul Edward Stevenson. And, you know, actually, maybe the time is ideal for military conflicts on second thought because of COVID, the response to it, that is, and how at this point a lot of the propaganda is starting to wear away as far as its effect on the people. I mean, this is a time where a lot of people might be comparing notes, you know, and that includes internationally, you know, between different nations, people. And, well, I suppose military tensions could be another divide and conquer tactic at an ideal opportunity, both for the economic reasons, but sure, it would benefit as well. The fallout from all of the propaganda and manipulation about COVID, you know, with these globalist and economic motives in the background politically. Paul?
Yeah, I was just going to say I wanted to add one other thing, which is illuminating, because when Putin was questioned, I think it was by a Russian journalist, about the escalation, about the British ship over there and its nonsense, which, you know, happened to have a BBC journalist on it, just conveniently. But anyway, the he also said that, you know, that, you know, that his concern was this violation of the Russian territorial waters. And he implicated not just the British, but he said that this was, you know, basically the British acting as a proxy, basically, for the United States. And interestingly, he said that if that war, if there was a war to develop, that, you know, the Western nations, the usual suspects, couldn't possibly win that war. So that's his position. He thinks if there was an escalation and a war developed, that the West couldn't win it.
Patrick, do you have any more thoughts to add on these topics, or something else you wanted to bring up?
No, actually, I do. So, I always like to look at past experiences, past history, and you know, like I said before, I don't know of anybody, for instance, in the American establishment, really wants war, but miscalculation is always possible. But, you know, something Paul said actually would make me amend that, because, you know, I'm the type of person who thinks war is almost always unnecessary. But there are people who sometimes think, well, the war is inevitable. We're going to have war. And if war is inevitable, then if it's going to happen, we want it to happen at the time and place of our choosing. And so there could be that kind of calculation. My assumption is that in the American establishment, there probably isn't too much of that thinking, because, right, you know, the United States has been on top of everything for so long. So the status quo really should be pretty amenable to the United States. The status quo should be just fine. It should be satisfactory. But who knows? There might be people who are looking over their shoulder and saying, well, Russia and China are getting strong, and they're only going to get stronger. And so if something's going to happen, maybe there may well be people in the establishment like that. But, you know, you do think of miscalculation. Japan in 1941 thought that war was inevitable. They were being encircled by the American, British, Chinese, and Dutch, the ABCD encirclement. That's at least how they viewed it. And, you know, looking at their own oil reserves, for instance, their own oil stockpiles, because they were under an oil embargo from the United States, which was the big exporter back then, they decided, well, it's inevitable. And also that the Americans are rich and soft, just like, you know, just like they are today. They're rich and soft, and they're not going to be willing to fight a war. There was a miscalculation, because what they didn't understand is that actually the American leadership under Franklin Roosevelt did want to fight a war, not necessarily against Japan, but that wound up being their entry into the war that certainly the Jewish establishment wanted against Hitler's Germany. So there is massive risk, whether or not there are people at the top levels of the establishment who want war. We might get war. And yeah, I will amend what I said before. There may well be some people who are thinking, well, it's inevitable. China and Russia are getting stronger. If it's inevitable, we might as well have it sooner rather than later. And to the extent that there are people with that mindset in the government, that is a massive indictment of our system, because, you know, China and Russia are actually, you know,
mm-hmm.
Okay. I hope you got that.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right. And I have to wonder your thoughts on an inevitable future war with Iran. I mean, is Israeli global influence going to remain strong enough where we will ultimately have this war they want with Iran regarding the Greater Israel Project, the original plan for invading 7 countries in 5 years, the project for the new American century and all that? I don't know. Do you think that will happen eventually, because many talk about how that could, in theory, pull Russia into the conflict, and who knows, could even in turn pull China in, a potential major spark for a World War III.
Well, the only real impetus for a war with Iran, the only people with motivation are a faction of Israelis. And it's not all Israelis, but it does seem to be, Benjamin Netanyahu's and probably the bulk of the Israeli establishment. But they've had this position for, well, certainly since the Iraq War. Once the Iraq War removed Saddam Hussein, then the next big boogeyman, the next nearest and biggest boogeyman was Iran. And they've been pushing for this for almost 20 years and haven't gotten it through various administrations who are all trying to court favor with Israel. And so if they haven't gotten it so far, I wouldn't say it's inevitable, but it remains a high risk.
Paul.
Yeah, well, that's another powder keg as to how a wider conflict could happen. Apart when even if you remove, the tensions, and the struggle and the the tussle for global hegemony, with China and Russia and the United States, it could escalate with the aggression of Israel and their petulance and aggression and impatience to remove Iran. And that could start. And the irony is, I believe, that Israel wants, they want to get rid of Iran because they want complete hegemony in that region. And the irony is, I think, if they push too hard and there was, a war with Iran, which, to my mind, almost inevitably would lead to a wider conflict and possibly a world war. The irony is, with Israel pushing for hegemony in that region, could and might well result in the elimination of Israel as a nation. Because if the United States went to war and got pulled into this war and lost that war, and you have a shift in global hegemony, where the balance of power is now in the favor of Russia, China, and again, Iran will be part of that alliance as well, then Israel's not going to be protected in the way that it has been used to and enjoyed by the United States, because the United States is not going to be in that position anymore. And who really cares? If they started a war with Iran and Iran's on the winning side, well, Iran's going to clean up that area, and you're going to see a big shift in policy, because Israel is not strong enough to protect itself without the assistance of the United States. It's arguable that even with the protection of the United States, that they're not able to protect themselves if Iran and Syria and some of those sort of players decided to attack Israel. So it could be an interesting development if Israel got too aggressive and too petulant in that area, that you could see the eradication of the state of Israel.
Well, there are those scenarios. I personally think a more likely scenario, it's not that Israel can't protect itself without the United States, but it cannot project itself, which is what it's been doing. I mean, Israel has attacked its neighbors with no consequences. For decades, you think about 4 decades ago, it bombed Iraq's nuclear facilities, nuclear power plant that was ready to go online. They've wiped out all sorts of suspected, and who knows what that even means, suspected chemical weapons factories in Syria. They bomb Lebanon all the time. They bomb Syria all the time, and they always get away with it. There's never been any repercussions. In a scenario where let's just say it's a non-nuclear Holocaust war, where there are a surviving civilization, and United States loses some sort of limited war to Iran, well, to Russia, China, and Iran, it certainly would leave Iran as the regional hegemon, and so the Middle East would be reworked under Iranian hegemony, would that necessarily remove Israel from the map? And the thing is, Israel has massive nuclear capabilities, nuclear weapons. It's got a triad of delivery systems with submarines, with intercontinental ballistic missiles, the Jericho missiles, and of course with one of the most sophisticated air forces in the world. And so they've got this deterrent. Of course, a deterrent is dependent on the person you're trying to deter actually being deterred, and that's beyond one's own control. It might be that Iranians or some sort of Muslim coalition around Iran would be willing to risk or endure nuclear strikes in order to finish off Israel. I think it's very, very unlikely that Russia or China would want to be part of that, or would back it, or perhaps wouldn't actively oppose it, because you think of the Samson option. If Israel feels it's going down, it's going to take as much of the world with it as it can, and so you might find Iran as the hegemon, but actually being restrained from finishing off Israel. But the thing is, we're talking about future scenarios, so many unknowns. Who knows? It's all very, very dangerous.
Yeah, but I think at the very least, Israel, in this scenario that I described, and there's a lot of, as you say, there's a lot of ifs and buts and scenarios and all sorts of things that could materialize, but I think at the very least they would be, especially if it was attributed whether it was attributed by mainstream media or not, or in the sort of public consciousness, if the powers of Israel, or sorry, if China, Iran, Russia identified that it was because of Jewish aggression and Israeli aggression that ultimately resulted in a wider conflict, which probably, Russia and China would ultimately like to avoid, then I think at the very least, Israel would be neutralized. There would be a different kind of administration put in there, which wouldn't be aggressive or as aggressive. And they would be brought to heel, brought under manners, and neutralized as a nation that wouldn't be, hell-bent on aggression and causing all the chaos and problems that that they've been causing,
So, do either of you have much of an opinion to predict the likelihood we would ever see this major conflict with Iran?
Well, just following on what I said, because Bush didn't launch into it, Obama, I guess to his credit, I do credit him, but maybe without enough cause, he had pressure to strike Iran, and he didn't. Trump, of course, wanted to be viewed as being the most pro-Israel president ever, but he did assassinate Soleimani, but he didn't attack Iran, and he was from what in his campaign had been relatively, for the scope of American politics, a relatively anti-war campaign, he had his greatest belligerency was always towards Iran, and yet he didn't strike Iran. And so, and all the time you had very, in Bush's years, you had Ariel Sharon as prime minister, Obama and Trump, they served at the same time as Netanyahu, was extremely belligerent, and yet there was no attack on Iran. So and of course you also had a Jewish establishment under Obama running the State Department that is back. The team is back together. Victoria Nuland and Wendy Sherman and Anthony Blinken. They were all John Kerry's top deputies. Now you've got that team back together. John Kerry's still involved in the administration in another capacity. And they had, rather than taking out of Iran's nuclear facilities, they had this treaty, which wasn't necessarily a very good treaty for Iran, but Iran thought it was, you know, the best that they could make of a bad situation. And so you've got that same foreign policy team that didn't want a Jewish-led Jewish foreign policy team that didn't want war with Iran. It didn't want to go along with Benjamin Netanyahu and the Zionist hawks, both in America and in, say, the Republican Party, you know, the Shabbat Goyim in the Republican Party, who have been pushing for this. So if it didn't happen in the Obama administration, I don't see why it has to happen in the fake Biden administration.
And he has such little support from what we're hearing, even from his supposed base so far in his time in office. That he's quite quickly becoming the least favorite president. So, yeah, it really wouldn't be a good figurehead for that. Good points, Patrick, Paul. And we'll be right back with the final segment of the first hour.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Of the first hour. Here on the Alternative Media, folks, Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf, here with co-hosts Patrick Slattery and Paul Edward Stevenson. And, I mean, here in the independent media, we are always looking out for that worst-case scenario because it I don't know, I see it to some extent as our role to balance the likelihood of things, the probability of things. So within reason, just put these out there as possibilities. Don't rule them out, but, you know, try not to have too much of a fear-based message, you know, that a doomsday sort of analysis is only so productive, unless it's all about just the viewership. But I mean, I admit I was among those who was a big Alex Jones listener, like say around like 10 years ago. And I remember all the collaboration he did with Jesse Ventura and the conspiracy theory show. And they're in the one episode looking at these mass plastic coffins, which could house entire, fit entire families, like four or five bodies in each. And just these sites with these mass amounts of them, speculation, FEMA camp talk, and, you know, mass depopulation. We heard them talking about vaccines back then, of course. But, you know, there is, I mean, everything that I've been hearing today says that beating of war drums is really more for show, whether it's Iran or China and Russia. For the most part, it's an international global centralization that is the big enemy. You know, it's in every nation this enemy. And well, like Henry Ford pointed out, okay, the international Jew was the title of his book. He made sure every owner of a new Ford vehicle was given as a free gift, his book there. So
you imagine that, buying a car today and you get a free copy of the International Jew.
Right.
I can imagine it was probably, you know, because Ford at the time was, I don't know, probably the equivalent of Tesla today. It probably came in a nice leather pack and all that. And you get your car out, and then in the glove box, you pull it out. Oh, what's this? A complimentary copy of the International Jew.
A little cartoon of a husband and wife sitting down after dinner reading it. And
yeah, you're right beside the, right beside the first aid pack, you know, that comes in the glove box as well, you know.
But yeah, so I mean, but I well, this COVID pandemic response has certainly shown us how much there are order givers internationally, where a lot of these countries will move in lockstep with certain policies and use certain talking points. You know, like now we have the climate change, we have all the COVID catchphrases. We have what, build back better, right? That's a big one now.
Yeah, well, that's just code language for, you know, for Bolshevism, basically. You know, once they destroy the nation, then they build it back in their own, you know, Bolshevik, you know, Marxist utopian image. I mean, build back better, you know. Well, what do you mean build back better? It's an acknowledgement you've just destroyed something, you know?
Good point. Well, we're closing in on the end of the first hour here. We will open the phones. Take your calls live for hour number two, folks. 512-248-8252. Hope to hear from you in hour two. Stick around.
Going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.